Welcome. Here we are aboard the Mary Celeste, and the ship's deserted.
Ah, yes, number one. Whatever it was that caused the crew to abandon ship so quickly is certain to have been the most horrible of things.
Look, Captain, look. The radio's still on.
Well, turn it up, man. It might give us a clue to this mysterious affair.
Right.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, I can't
send it.
Quick,
the 10 dogs go. Quick, abandon ship. Overboard.
Overboard.
To the All Action Adventure Show. Another 1.5 hours of thrill packed.
1.5 hours?
Yes, well, it takes some people an hour to get over this lot. Yes, it's nerve tingling, bone crunching, exciting stuff. But first, a word from our producer.
Hello, everybody.
And director of the steaming rainforest of Antimacassar, the king of the jungle, that old baboon himself, Ken Dodd.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Hi, what a beautiful day, folks. What a beautiful day. We're chucking a stick of rhubarb up a Scotsman's kilt and saying, go on, Jock, force yourself. What a star-studded cast we have for you today. We have Chris Emmett, who recently gave up potholing following complaints from the people in the flat below. We have Michael McLean, who wants to be Britain's first astronaut. He likes nothing better than running into Euston Railway Station, dashing into the men's room, pulling all the chains and shouting, all systems go! We have the famous biologist, Miss Jo Manning Wilson, who once crossed a chicken with a doorbell and got a push it. As opposed to a bullet, you see. We also have Big Gladys, a nude... Big Gladys, a nude accordion player, who will give us a medley of songs, including Climb Every Mountain, Down in the Valley, and It Don't Mean a Thing If You Ain't Got That Swing. Well, I mean, folks, adventure, thrills, drama. Let's all do something daring. Let's do something daring and outrageous, like taking all our clothes off and marching through Whitehall in a long line, shouting, Fair play for pork sausages. People say, folks, that films are exciting. You know, but for me, you can't beat the old-time Hollywood films for excitement and adventure.
Well, now then, Ken, I always remember sitting in the pictures back home, looking at Flash Gordon in the front row.
Oh, yeah?
It was funny. The usherettes never threw him out.
We had proper cowboys in those days. Men like Tom Mix, Roy Rogers, Kit Carson.
They just aren't a patch on today's cowboys.
Today's cowboys? Today's cowboys? They're all rubbish today. Who's that funny fella in the kinky black leather gear on the telly?
Oh, he's the Virginian.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Wearing them tight pants, miles from anywhere, surrounded by nothing but cows. It's not natural.
And sheep. Don't forget the sheep.
No, I wasn't going to forget the sheep, Tom. And there's that woman who dresses up as a man and goes riding all over the place with the other fella.
Who's that?
You know, Alice Smith and Jones.
What I want to know is, why there were never any British cowboys?
But. There were loads of them, loads of them.
You just named one.
There was Tex Shufflebottom.
Tex Shufflebottom?
Yes, well, you see, he kept slipping off his horse under the floor. He started Rawhide. Then there was Hopalong Farquhar Fortescue.
Who?
Who? Hopalong Farquhar Fortescue. They called him Hopalong because he had a touch of gout.
Wasn't he in that film Last Stagecoach to Chipping Brief?
That's it. Oh, I'm glad you said that. Yeah. Peggy Mount played Big Chief Sitting Bull. Robertson Hare was the marshal. Oh, Calamity Jane.
I say, Ken, listen now then. Do you think I'd make a good cowboy?
Oh, you would. You would toughen.
You think so?
You've got the legs for it.
Oh, aye?
Bandy. See, you could easily be an idol. lazy swine. No, you could be the new... You could be the new cowboy screen idol.
Well, what cowboy name could I use now that sums up my essentially rugged facial characteristics?
Yes, of course. Well, how about Buck... Teeth? Buck Choppers. Buck Fangs. Fangs.
No, no, no. How about Randy Thomas?
Eh?
Yes. Randy Thomas, yes. Han fa'r ffwrs gwyngell go gerach fe'n rhywbeth llandys y liog o goch. Ced.
Yes. No, I can't see that clicking. You see, to be a cowboy, Tuff, you've got to be moody and magnificent. Yeah. Look, Joe, lend us your little bag. Let's put some mascara on you to accentuate those smouldering eyes.
Aye, they do smoulder, don't they?
Do. Oh,
ooh, yes.
You could light your woody off them. Now, now the smouldering eyes. Now, you want some firm, sensuous lips. Just pass, Mike, pass us that red felt tip pen, will you?
Yes.
Now, put a beauty spot here.
Yeah? Oops.
No, no. Well, another one on the other cheek. And now, all you need now is a couple of chaps.
Chaps?
Yes, you know, chaps. Cowboy keks. I'll just nip and get you some.
Right. Now, that's very good of you, Kenboy. That's very good of you. Now, I'll practice making my eyes smoulder, see, now. How do you do, Bill? Reach for your drawers. Right.
Hello, hello. Now then. What's all this then, eh?
Oh, hello now, officer. Don't worry, I'm just putting my makeup on.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, I'm a cowboy, you know.
Yes, I can see that. Do you know who I am?
No.
I'm the sheriff, and I'm running you in for causing a breach of the peace. Now, come on, Raw-Eyed. Head him up and move him out.
Oh, get off. I'm Randy, I tell you. Randy, wait.
I can't go on. I can't go on. It's too much. It's becoming a bore. A shallow, empty bore. The same old faces. The same dull routine. Day in, day out, day in, day out. I'm going to end it all. Do you hear me? I'm going to finish it for good.
Quick, stop him before he does something.
You'll leave him alone. He knows what he's doing. He's the producer of Crossroads. Time to open our suggestion box, ladies and gentlemen, in which we invite listeners to tell us what we should be doing each week. Here we are. Open the box. Ah, now, here's a suggestion. Here's a suggestion from Mrs. Nellie Dean, care of the old mill by the stream, Boozy, Hertz. She writes, I think it's high time that Ken Dodd got knighted. Well, Mrs. Dean, I'd like to thank you very much for your kind
letter.
Just
a minute. That says knotted, not knighted.
Oh, well, I always was a rotten speller.
A gentleman who lives on his own in Bayswater writes...
Dear sir, I've been suffering for the past few months from a nasty bout of... Now, this can be very embarrassing, especially in company who don't understand the problems that we sufferers have to face, you see. Now, is there anything you can suggest I do to cure me of this terrible... I would be forever grateful. Yours sincerely, a chronic... sufferer.
I see. Well, dear... sufferer, this is the first time I've ever heard of anyone suffering from... I once knew a fireman who had a shocking case of... and even a vicar who got an attack of... every time he bent to fasten his shoelace. However, I feel sure that your... will be much less noticeable if in future you get yourself a... If this doesn't have the desired effect, well, all I can say is hard lines... and lay off the dandelion and burdock. Here is a Chinese proverb.
Confucius say that a lady who wishes to become a backseat driver must have very long arms.
Good evening, Reverend.
Good evening, Reverend, to you.
That was a pair of vicars.
And so, quite honestly and sincerely, as I said at the Brighton conference, and I've said this before, I don't want to say it too often, the social contract still exists.
That was an excerpt from Call My Bluff.
Most adventurers are accident-prone, so when you're recovering in hospital, there's nothing like a visit from your spouse to cheer you up.
Good grief, just look at you. You're like death warmed up. Ooh. Your eyes are sunk in, your cheeks is hollow, your weight's just dropped off you.
I feel all right, I feel all right. Well, I did.
Ooh. Look at them wrinkles on your face. Look like a 90-year-old prune. Your lips are turning blue and your neck's as scraggy as a chicken's. Oh, don't give much for your chances.
Oh, that's very nice, I must say.
I've never seen such a change in a man. Do you want me to call the doctor to pump a few pints of blood into you?
No, all right. I'm all right, I tell you. At least I was.
Oh, well, there's the bell. It's the end of visiting hours. Now, is there anything I can get you? Like a priest.
No, thank you. Nothing.
Here comes the ward sister to clear everybody out now. What? I suppose I'll have to say goodbye to you. While I've got the chance.
Before you do, will you just tell me one thing?
What's that?
Would you mind if I don't come visiting you tomorrow night, love? Because I feel blooming awful. I don't know how I got here tonight. How much longer are you going to be in hospital for?
Now the sun's going down at the end of the day. It's a lonely old town, you're 1,000 miles away. Here I sit all alone, picturing your smile, till the day you come home, darling, once in a while.
Think of me,
wherever you are, wherever you are, I'm thinking of you. And my love will shine like the bright evening star that is shining on you wherever you are. Now the moon's in the sky and I'm missing you so. Time slowly goes by as the days come and go. Till you're home once again, this is all I can say. Darling, just now and then, at the end of each day.
Think of me,
wherever you are, wherever you are. I'm longing to be
every night.
I know, no matter how far, that wherever you are, you're thinking of me. So good night, and God bless, wherever you may be. The moon that you see is shining on me. We may be worlds apart, but the love we knew then will be safe in my heart, till you need it again. Think of me, wherever you are. Wherever you are, I'm thinking of you, and my love will shine like the bright evening star that is shining on you, wherever you are. Think of me. Thank you.
to Knotty Ash University for an esoteric essay by that academic egghead, Professor Rufus Chakrabarty.
Thank you, students, thank you. Put it away. Yes. Now, you see, there's always been disasters. The Great Fire of London started in a pudding in Bakery Lane. This baker was practicing a bit of fire eating when he accidentally backed into a tray of hot scones, coughed and set fire to St. Clement's Dane.
What happened?
Poor dog was burned to a frazzle.
I was torpedoed 32 times in the Second World War.
Good Christ, that certainly was disastrous.
Yes. I wouldn't care, but I was working in the Nuffy at Aldershot.
Now, are there any questions?
Yes, Professor. Where's the safest place to be in the event of an earthquake?
Somewhere else. Failing that, in a discotheque.
Will it be safe?
No, but you won't be able to tell the difference.
Professor, do you believe in curses?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that. You see, a neighbour of mine once refused to buy some pegs from a gypsy, and she cursed him with bad luck and said he'd never have any more children.
No, what happened to the poor man at all?
He had a nasty accident the next day with some gardening shears, and they cut up his family allowance.
So you believe in the potency of curses, do you?
I've got to. You see, I also refused to buy some pegs, and the same gypsy put a curse on all my ears.
Oh, and did it work?
Yes, I woke up next morning, they'd all dropped out. You don't half notice it when it gets a bit nippy. Now, students, we come to the famous heroes of the past. Heroes, men like Piper Finlayson. Piper Finlayson, who in the First World War led the troops into battle, marching up and down, playing forever rousing Scottish airs on his bagpipes. He was shot 14 times, twice by the Germans and 12 by his own lot. Now, students, gather around. I have something wonderful to show you. Using my superior skills and knowledge as a master scientist, I have fashioned a living being in the laboratory with my own hands. He has the physique of Godzilla, the head of Frankenstein and the mind of Dracula. Here he is on this slab.
Oh, it's horrible.
Oh, what a revolting sight.
I'm sorry, I'll put a long overall on. I, Chakrabarty, shall transmit a bolt of lightning through the electrodes connected to his brain to make this creature utter his first words. Stand back, students. Here goes.
Ooh. He's sitting up. He's going to say something.
My monster speaks.
Good evening. I'm going to squeeze you till the pips squeak. All you silly billies.
Just suppose.
Supposing I should fall in love with you.
A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Just suppose ugly was beautiful.
In what way?
Well, just suppose it was beautiful to be ugly.
How do you mean?
Oh, darling, your ugliness intoxicates me. You're the most hideous girl I've ever seen.
Oh, you flatter me, Eric. Lots of girls are uglier than me.
Oh, they couldn't be, my sweet. Compared with you, they're downright pretty. When I look at those cross eyes, those cauliflower ears and that ginger moustache, I just ache to possess your body.
It's just an ordinary body.
Ordinary? How can a bandy-legged zeppelin look ordinary? Oh, if only I wasn't so downright handsome.
Nonsense. You're unpleasantly ugly. I think you're quite bad-looking.
Oh, it's no use. I know I look like Valentino. But I'll try to alter. I'll have my nose flattened. I'll develop a stoop. I'll take ugly lessons.
No, but I love you as you are. You may be handsome, but you'll always be ugly to me.
Oh, why am I cursed with this Grecian profile? These strong white teeth. This wavy hair. Oh, Lord. Oh, I'm growing more like Charles Atlas every day. And yet, ugliness is only skin deep.
You'll always be ugly to me, darling. You must believe me. I'm not flattering you, my precious. To me, you look as ugly as...
Yes, yes.
Ken Dodd.
When it comes to drama, what is the most sinister symbol of fear today, apart from Dennis Healy's eyebrows? A sight that strikes terror into the hearts of strong men, turns their knees to jelly. Is it a rent book with blank spaces in? No, it's the gun. The gun, a symbol of danger and destruction. As you stand there with that steely blue muzzle, pointing at your waistcoat button, fear strikes your heart. You say to yourself, by Jove, I wish I'd worn my old suit. I mean, where did it all start? Gunpowder, which unfortunately blew up the inventor who thought it was snuff. So the gun was born. It was in the 16th century that a short-sighted little man in St. James's first thought of using it in another way.
Eureka! I've invented the gun. Eureka! I've also invented a hole in the head.
And we in the army were not slow in developing the full potential of it.
What, the gun?
No, the hole in the head.
The introduction of the firearm upset traditional French duelists.
Choose your weapons.
I choose swords.
Good. I choose pistols.
However, the duelist soon threw down his sword and took up the pistol.
Monsieur, you will take 4 pierces. Turn and then fire.
Very well. 1, 2, 3. You slime, sir! You said take 4 paces before firing.
That is correct. You had to take 4 paces. I only had to take 3.
Then in 1890, we invented...
honor.
Major Ponsonby?
Yes, General.
You are the worst shot in the regiment.
Oh, no, sir. Not me. Oh, my goodness. I've disgraced the family name.
Only one thing you can do, old boy. And you'll have to do the honorable thing. Here, take my pistol.
Oh, very well, sir. I'll do it now. I missed, sir.
Dad, you're worse than I thought.
In 1914, the government introduced a new type of firearm.
That is correct. The firearm had a barrel that was 3 miles in length.
Who was that for?
Cowards.
Meanwhile, back at Sandhurst...
I've missed again.
Major Ponsonby.
Yes, General.
Fix bayonets.
Sir.
And now, take a running jump at yourself.
Sir. I've missed again, sir.
In the First World War, the Tommies used to march up and down singing the Howitzer song.
The Howitzer song?
Haven't you? It's got, how it's a long way to Tipperary.
And way up west, where men are men, you know. Tough guys.
Allie Mae?
Yep, Elmer.
You want to see my bunt line special, Emmy Mae?
Don't mind if I do, Elmer.
There you go, Allie Mae. What you reckon to that?
That's very nice, Elmer. But I always thought a buntline special was a gun, Elmer.
And now you know different, Ellie Mae.
How about the desperados, the bank robbers?
Okay. This is a stick-up.
Oh, really? Big deal.
Didn't you hear me, mister? I said, this is a stick-up.
Oh, go away, you silly little man. You don't frighten me with your stick-up.
Oh, no? You haven't seen the size of the stick yet.
Rubbish.
Good stuff, this. Fire by the yard. Yes, the gun, ladies and gentlemen, the most lethal weapon ever invented. British riflemen in their red coats, forming their traditional square and firing salvos of musket balls at the advancing enemy. And then fixing their bayonets, rushing up to the foe and shouting,
I say, can we have our balls back, please?
Throughout the last war, the gun continued to develop until the ultimate in firearms.
Oh, dear. What have we invented now?
The pun gun.
The pun gun?
The pun gun.
The pun gun.
What a wonderful memory for conversation. So I've just built, and I'm about to test for the very first time the pun gun. The titter hitter. The crack. The cracker jacker.
Let me see your weapon.
This gun fires off 1,000 jokes a minute, and it guarantees to have any audience dying with laughter.
Well, what sort of jokes have you got in the gun at the moment?
Well, I have in this gun, at this very moment, a round of cattle jokes, cow jokes. I have a round of cow jokes, so if you'll all stand well back, I'll give you a quick burst of me crackerjacker. Right? Firing in 3, 2, 1, fire! Why do cows wear bells?
Because their horns don't work.
How do you milk very tall cows?
By using church bell ringers.
What goes moo-moo bang, moo-moo bang, moo-moo bang?
3 cows in a minefield.
Heard enough. Herd, that's a good one. Cow herd. Cow herd.
You already have had enough. Now just look what I've got in my hand.
Oh, it's a leak.
But it's no ordinary leak. This is an atomic leak.
Back, everyone.
I'm going to give it to you now.
Quick, everyone, run. Happy bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Ken Dodd in the most dangerous show in the world without the aid of a safety net. In the Great Escape show was Talfin Evil Primeval Thomas, who was fired twice, once from a cannon and once by the BBC. Escapologists Joe Manning Wilson and Gretchen Franklin successfully wriggled out of the clutches of Michael McLean and Chris Emmett. Funny lines failed to be freed, but the ones that did were written by Norman Beadle, Dave Dutton, David McKellar, Philip and Alan Bissell. The most daring feat in the show... both owned by our intrepid producer, Bobby Bunyan Jay.